Hi, this is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. Research has shown that mesenchymal stem cells, or MSCs, have immunologic properties and might offer neuroprotection. Dr. Mark Friedman, Professor of Neurology at the University of Ottawa, led a team that developed a protocol for an international trial to examine whether MSCs could promote recovery in patients with multiple sclerosis. Dr. Friedman, could you please explain what MSCs are and how we get them?
Sure, Eric. Mesenchymal stem cells are also known as stromal cells. The mesenchyme is a primordial layer in the embryo, which gives rise to a number of tissues as we grow as humans. And one of the major layers that it gives rise to is the bone marrow, which is a source, of course, of the hematopoietic system. But as it turns out, it makes a lot of different cells that we used to think were just structural, meaning they formed a scaffolding inside the bone marrow to allow the hematopoietic cells just to simply grow. And as it turns out, many of those stromal cells have incredible capacity to differentiate into tissues and have many important properties. And these have become known as mesenchymal cells. The stromal part of it has been dropped. Although if you want to be a diehard, you would call them mesenchymal stromal cells. So it turns out that that's a great source for them, which would be the bone marrow. But these mesenchymal cells migrate into many different systems. And there are sources of them that can be obtained readily from, say, fat tissue. The other interesting place is the placenta, but probably the simplest and easiest is to get them from bone marrow.
What are the advantages of autologous MSCs compared with non-autologous MSCs?
Well, I think the first word is the most important one, and that is autologous. So if you take something of yourself, it'll be much more easily tolerated than if you took self product from either a population of many different people or from a distinct individual. And that's just the way transplantation works, is that there are certain self proteins on the surface of cells that the body recognizes as either of the body or not of the body, and if it's not of the body, then it's a good chance it could be rejected. These cells are very early in their development, and they actually express very few of those self receptors and proteins, so that the body can actually even accept foreign mesenchymal stem cells, and they would not be required to, say, immunosuppress the host in order to accept it. The way we do with, say, if you've got an organ from somebody else, you would have to suppress the host a little bit with chemo drugs so that we didn't reject the organ. So autologous is very important. The other important aspect of autologous MSCs is that they are coming from somebody who presumably has a condition that would benefit from having them. And the MSCs, the first question people would ask is, if the person has a condition, would that condition affect the MSCs themselves? And in the case of MS, we've looked fairly extensively at the MSCs, and there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with them, per se. But it's an important question, because if you thought that they were defective, then clearly it might be of better interest to get them from somewhere else.
What do we know about the potential therapeutic properties of MSCs?
What we've been able to demonstrate is really three things fairly consistently, but only one of them really being the one area that looks like we can exploit it for MS. So the hope is that if you took these cells and they're undifferentiated or uncommitted down any particular pathway, that if you put them into somebody who, say, needs a brain cell or a heart cell or a bone cell, that the body can somehow steer them in that direction, because that particular organ has been damaged and it's sending out messages that would allow the cells to differentiate into the particularly body-specific need cell type. In reality, that probably doesn't happen, although we can show that in the animal systems and in vitro, they have the potential for doing so. But it's been very hard to show, for instance, in the animal models of MS, that these cells will differentiate into the cell that we're looking for, which was the oligodendrocyte cell that makes the myelin. The other property is what's called neuroprotection. But in the case of MS, could they get into the brain and somehow, in an area that's already been damaged and may go to a scar and lead to something permanent, could the MSC's presence and the different products that it released, which tend to be what we call neurotrophins, would they be able to preserve brain tissue? And there's some models that have shown that this is a potential But it's been hard to realize that potential, mainly because the attraction is limited and whether the release of these substances actually lead to functional recovery has not been established. The third, and probably the easiest to reproduce and one of the ways in which we've actually seen it work in humans, is what are called the immunoregulatory properties. I'd love to say we understand how this works, but in fact, the cells are capable of reacting with the immune system in such a way that if there's an overreaction, especially in an autoimmune type situation where the body's being attacked by its own immune system for no reason, that the cells actually have the capacity to turn that off. And probably one of the most, I would say, serious and lethal conditions in which they've been tried are in people who've received allogeneic bone marrow transplants. These are transplants from a non-matched individual, and usually due to a severe leukemia or lymphoma. And the only way they would survive would be for this bone marrow that they got from a donor to take up shop in their own bone marrow and start making cells. However, in order for that to happen, you have to make sure that the host doesn't kill the bone marrow from the donor. That turns out not to be the problem. It turns out that the donor cells are so potent that as soon as they set up shop, somewhere around a few weeks after they get into the body, they start to realize that that's not their body, and they're not at home. And they set about doing what they normally do, which is to destroy anything that's not of the body. And that's called graft versus host disease. So it's a terrible situation. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You have to suppress the host from destroying the donor, but now you have to suppress the donor cells from destroying the host. And often you can't find the right cocktail of drugs to be effective under those circumstances, and the patient often dies. So in those circumstances, they've done a study several years ago, spearheaded by the Karolinska Institute, showing that mesenchymal stem cells in that particular predicament was life-saving and had the capacity without chemo drugs to regulate the immune response and allow the graft to set up and the body to survive. Similarly, if we go into models of autoimmunity, the same thing happens. Somehow, magically, they figure out which cells are releasing the products and are migrating to organs to destroy them and gain control over them. And there's no other chemo drug. There's no other drug involved. It's just the cells. A lot of questions, how often do you have to give them, would you have to repeat the dosing, and that sort of thing, that's all being investigated. But that's the potential, I think, that's most realizable in a clinical study, such as the one we had proposed.
So what types of MS could be treated with MSCs?
Well, if you believe the cells have neurotrophic capabilities, like I told you they do, obviously, the ability to turn off the inflammatory attacks would be useful for relapsing, remitting disease, but we have a whole package of different drugs now that we can use for that purpose, so I don't think that's the primary goal where I would see the cells being involved. Ultimately, what we'd want to do is bring it forward as a treatment for progressive disease, for which currently we have no treatments at all. If we could apply that and see some recovery in the central nervous system, that would be a huge step forward and would open the door, I think, to a lot more research with MSCs.
What will be the next step if your trial demonstrates that MSCs can reduce inflammatory lesions in patients with MS?
Well, there's already been a group in the UK that have tested MSCs in a model of repair and surprised us all in showing that you could induce recovery of the visual system. And that was totally unexpected. So that's ultimately what we're hoping for from MSCs. If we were to set forward with a large clinical trial as we've proposed, with a primary outcome being recovery in a neurological system, which nobody has ever shown before, I think there would be huge skepticism that these drugs, especially if it failed, have any biological properties or propensity for doing that. On the other hand, the most readily reproducible biological effect of the cells in the body is to control immune responses. So the hope was that we would go into a relapsing model of MS, not a model, a relapsing disease, which has ongoing inflammation, and be able to demonstrate the biological activity which would turn down that inflammatory response. And then with the data that we've been able to demonstrate an important biological effect of MSCs in humans and in MS, we would hope that in that study to get some idea of a signal of repair that we could then go after in a forthcoming study that would really be targeting repair once people believe that we're able to obtain these cells, grow them, put them in, and show that they're biologically viable and functioning, then the risk that you're going to get any outcome is much lower. And we might even be able to get the appropriate funding for that.
Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Friedman.
You're very welcome, Eric.
This is Eric Greb, Senior Associate Editor of Neurology Reviews. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.